We're in Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. We're in Hebrews, the third chapter. And the last couple of weeks, we've understood where Jesus was set apart, and He was compared to angels, and He was compared to Aaron the high priest. Now God is going to compare Him with Moses, and He's going to set Him in a place and fuss with us, because He wants to tell us the truth. And it's a time where God makes a comparison that's unlike any other comparison in the Word. We're going to get into it here in Hebrews, but let me begin at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Therefore, it links it to the second chapter where Christ is proven to be greater than the angels. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to us as the superiority of Christ over Moses. The object of the conversation is us. He's speaking to us as brethren. The Scripture says brethren or brothers. He speaks to us as equals, an important assertion. We need to understand we're not being talked down to, we're being talked to as part of the family of God. Turn to somebody and say, "You're part of the family of God." If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're part of the family of God. And along with all the blessings, along with all the thankfulness that we had this morning, there are directions. The Holy Spirit doesn't need permission to direct us. That's His job. The Holy Spirit directs us. We are equal. And the same level of commitment is not only expected of us, but demanded, because we're part of the family. Come on, someone. We need to realize that God is allowed to take the gloves off and treat us as family. This walking around and saying, "Well, God would never insult or challenge us," is just ludicrous. God sometimes insults us because we've done something we're not supposed to do. Insult is not bad. Insult is, it grabs us, it shakes us, and he gives a comparison about, he compares us with the children of Israel, who, by the way, the children of Israel who left Egypt, who, by the way, didn't ever make it to the promised land because of unbelief. This comparison just blows your mind. You say, "Well, you could compare us with somebody else, please. Could you compare us to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Got to go through the fire, but we're going to be okay. Could you please compare us to Daniel and the lion's den? I like that. Could you compare us to Peter being walking on the water? Could you compare us to those kind of things? That'd be great." But no, He compares us because He's speaking to us as brethren because of the warning. And if today is any indication of this example, today is the day that we need to heed God's word. So He speaks to us as brothers, and then He says, we are partakers. Listen to what He says. Partakers of the heavenly calling. You and I have heard the voice of God. It's not just we're Christians and everything's just sweet and kind. And man, there is a job to do. Partakers of the heavenly calling. We share in the responsibility because we have heard. Once we hear, we're responsible for what we hear. We are the chosen of God. There is an expectancy within each of us that there are demands that follow this relationship. If we're going to serve God, God has got some things for us to do. This is not bench warming. Come on, somebody. It's like the guy that's on the championship team and all he ever does is sit on the bench. Got the ring, but he never played a second. That ain't us. We're all involved. Come on, somebody. It's time to get off the bench and get involved. Partakers of the heavenly calling. God just doesn't pour into us just so we could be filled and happy. Partakers of the heavenly cup falling. The command of heaven falls on us. What is the command of heaven? Things like go and make disciples. sit here and tie, make your enemies a footstool, be fruitful and multiply, preach the kingdom. There are things that we're called to do. And he says, if you want a comparison, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Now he shifts it right back to the spotlight where it should be, and that's on Christ. He calls him, he says, consider the high priest, the apostle and the high priest of the faith. The true sent one who redeemed all of mankind. He didn't have to, he chose to. God so loved the world that he gave. See, God didn't have to, he chose to come and die for us. The obedient servant who became the ruling king. Not only is he's the apostle, he's the high priest. He made sacrifice for us and he ministers for us before the throne. It's amazing that Jesus as high priest was both the sacrifice and the presenter. He sprinkled his own blood. No priest before him had ever done what he did. He took his own blood that was shed on Calvary and sprinkled it on the altar and on the throne. Can you imagine? Both the presenter and the sacrifice. This is where God asks us. He says, consider this. He goes on to say, reading from verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we look at the faithfulness of Christ. We want an example. Forget all the other examples. The example that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is Jesus himself. Now the bar gets high. Consider the apostle and the high priest of the faith. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his brothers. Consider this. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To what do we owe this apostle and high priest of our faith? Everything. We owe him everything. He gave everything. The writer compares Moses and Christ, both faithful in their house. Christ was not only faithful, he built the house. He's king over his house. And then he says something that I want to spend just a couple of minutes on. We are his house. Think about that. We are his house. You say, where does Jesus live? He lives right here. Come on, somebody. He lives right here. We hold the very presence of God within us. Let me share a couple of scriptures with you. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You and I have him. You and I have the Holy Spirit. You and I have Jesus living in us. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, Jesus answered, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Where does the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost live? Right here. He lives right here. Come on, somebody. Consider the apostle and the high priest. He's living right here. John 6:56. Jesus said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You live in me. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. The very presence of God is carried by you right at this moment. You cannot put off God. You cannot run away from God. You cannot go somewhere where God is not. You cannot say, God, will you leave me alone? God, can I just be on my own just for a minute? And the devil would like to lie to you and say God is going to leave. He's the one that said, I'll never leave or forsake you. He's in it for the whole ride. You could put on the armor. You could put off the old man and put on the new man. You could choose to walk in the Spirit. You have a choice to walk in obedience. But whether you are disobedient or obedient, whether you're lackadaisical or whether you're on fire, whatever your state, God is with you. He's always there. He's always living in us. And then the Holy Spirit begins to be truthful. If. A small word. If. If we hold fast. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean he's not going to live there, but we're not going to have very much fun him living there. If we hold fast, cling to, walk in, make a commitment to, confidence. Hold with confidence, attacking life with the knowledge of boldness that Christ resides in you. You ought to be walking like you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Tell me anything that's stronger or greater than Christ himself. Tell me anything that can stand before him. And that lives in you. Jesus lives in you. Says, if we hold fast to confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm, to the end. The rejoicing of hope, that which we do not see, but know that it is there. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. God promises that he's in us. The hope that Jesus lives in us is a daily exercise that we need to do. We need to remember when we wake up in the morning, Christ is with us. He'll go before us. There's nothing that we face alone. He's always there. And then in verse 7, if you look in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now he hasn't changed. This is not for the sinner. We can't use this, we can't extract this and use this for a sinner. We can't say, therefore, today, hear his voice. He's not speaking to sinners. This is addressed to, point one, this is addressed to, the object of the conversation is you. Come on, someone. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, what's it there for? Because of Jesus taking the highest place of honor, he's making some demands on us. He says, while it is today, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, not yesterday, not yesterday's allegiance, acts, or promises, but today, not tomorrow's wishes and hopes and vows, but right now. At any moment, we're called to honor God and to honor his presence. It's any moment. This is not piecemeal Christianity. It's not smorgasbord cafeteria style. Today, this moment, and everyone that follows, today is the only one that counts. What we have done for Christ is done. What we will do for Christ awaits us. Today, now, the obedience is not time-stamped. It's listening and obeying at each second of life. That's where God is calling us. And he makes a comparison with the children of Israel. of all the ones he can make comparison, he's making the comparison of 2.5 million people that died without ever seeing the promise. Are you there? 2,000 funerals a day. They never saw the promise. God delivered them out of Egypt, only 20 years old and below, ever got to see what God was talking about. And it was by their choice. That was not God's purpose. Do not harden your hearts. It's interesting. He didn't say, don't stop your ears. Do not stop your ears. Do not close your eyes. He says, do not harden your hearts. The heart, the center, the soul. This is where we hear from the Spirit and obey. The seat of our very being, our spirit man, awaits the obedience of our mind. We hear the word and react. All of us were given transistor receivers when we got saved. We have a little receiver in our heart. People always say, how do I hear God? Just shut up long enough to listen to Him. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, He's preaching to you more than me. How do I hear God? Just shut up and listen. This is not rocket science. God didn't say, hey, you got to hear my voice and then you got to figure out if you're hearing God's voice. All that would do is cause frustration. We know God's voice. Just shut up. Get in the presence of God and listen. He'll speak to you. You might not like what you hear. He's waiting for us to hear Him in our will. We decide that we obey. God loves us enough, He leaves our will. The strongest force in the universe is not God. The strongest force in the universe is our will. God allows our will to encompass, be more than God's purpose. He allows that. In His sovereignty, He says, you got to make a choice. I'm not going to make you do anything. God doesn't make us do anything. Say that. God does not make me do anything. Have you ever prayed that prayer desperately? God, just make me. Just make me do it. God doesn't make us do anything. We make a choice. Once we make a choice in all of heaven, listen, all of heaven is behind us and we accomplish great things for God because we've yielded to Him. And then our emotions, we put them in check and we are obedient to the Spirit. He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And man was in a rebellion, year 1 through 40, the entire time they rebelled. God tested them. God tried them. And God was tested and God was tried. They saw all the works. He said, you saw my works. You know, it took 1,500 tons of food daily to feed the Israelites. 1,500 tons. Can you imagine? Come on. Distributed throughout all of Israel. They came out the tent. There it lay. All ready for them. Delivery by God. UPS wasn't around yet. 4,000 tons of wood daily. And they were in the wilderness. They had to cook. Think about that. 4,000 tons of wood daily. 11 million gallons of water daily. They saw my works. We're not talking about people that didn't see the works of God. They saw His works. I just threw a pair of shoes away that I had for 17 years. I did. I had a black pair of dress shoes that I wore for 17 years. They finally got a hole in the bottom. Out they went. These people had 40 years with nothing wearing out till they died. Till they died in the wilderness. They couldn't complain about not having the latest fashion. God kept everything crisp and clean. Listen to me, folks. The food was there. The clothing was there. The water was there. The wood was there. The provision was there. They saw His works, and yet they hardened their hearts. The very presence of God was with them. Every time they came out the tent, they even saw it in their periphery. There was no place they could go where they didn't see the shadow of the cloud or the fire of the pillar. And yet they walked away from God. They turned their back on God. They said, God, this is done. You should have left us eating the leeks and onions. Why did you bring us here? This is what God is comparing. This is what the Holy Spirit is comparing us with. Campering required 750 square miles, two-thirds the size of Rhode Island. I just think about the waste removal and demanded cleanliness was a miracle. How many know 2.5 million people can make a lot of waste? 2.5 million people living in close proximity that remain healthy, that remain fed, clothed, and alive was a miracle. But this is a comparison that the Holy Spirit is making. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the wilderness. These people saw the very, what I longed for. God, could I just have a man? Could I just one time see your manifest glory? They saw it every day. They got up, this is the first thing they did. Rub their eye before their first Maxwell House. Mostly by questioning if God indeed said it. God, did you really say? Why do you speak only to Moses, they said. It tested them. Why is Moses the only one you, Miriam and Aaron, came to God and said, you speak to Moses, but you don't speak to us. What's the matter? You know what happened. Miriam got leprosy. Why do we have just manna to eat? Oh God, what happened to the leeks and the onions? We ate better and why do we have to eat this stuff on the ground? Why does God speak through Aaron and Moses and not us, the different staffs that were put in the Ark of the Covenant? Today we have many who claim to be hearing from God without a shred of evidence, like their words coming to pass. Today we have the same thing. People saying, how can you speak to just them? I got the word of the Lord. My goodness. I'm sure glad I didn't sell everything this last week when the eclipse happened. I needed it afterwards. There's a couple folks that said that was it. If I'd have listened to every time it's it, I wouldn't have nothing. I'd be standing on a street corner in New York, panhandling, and I wouldn't be married 40 years. Today we have many who claim to be hearing from God. Jeremiah 14:14, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoke to them. They prophesied to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Jeremiah 27:15, for I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesied to you. Jeremiah 29:9, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. But we rent big coliseums and pay them large amounts of money to lie to us. To lie to us. Don't follow the wrong word. Don't get caught up in all the prophecies that mean nothing. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. If the word says, no man knows the hour, it means no man knows the hour. Doesn't mean somebody just specially. I made one example of this guy because he's got the word. And I've sent him as a voice to the world. It's not going to happen. And we get fooled into it every time. And we exalt man and devalue the word. The word of God is the word of God. Don't get caught up in that. It hardens our hearts for the real thing because Jesus is coming back. There are signs that we see that Jesus is coming back. We don't need to know when. If we knew when, we'd screw it up just like they have been doing. And they're getting rich doing it. I hope they're comfortable. We are in a time of deception. We're in a time of great deception. Many will come and say, here is Christ and there is Christ. Don't go with them. Matthew 24 says, I can't be any more distinctly clear than I am right at this moment. Please, 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 please stop listening to voices that weren't right. Are we going to continue to listen to them hoping they get right? If they were wrong before, they're going to be wrong again. This is not pitch and putt. This is life. Life and death situation. It's powerful and enticing, this deception. Jesus said it will fool the very elect. Listen to me. People that know a lot more than me, it'll fool them. I filter everything through the Lord. I got to tell you, people hand me books and tapes all the time. Sometimes I don't even listen to them. I just give them back. I don't want to be insulting, but I pray and hear the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit won't let me read it. I don't read it. I don't get into it. If I'm missing something, so what? I'll catch up when I get to heaven. Then he says in verse 10, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Listen, it's the heart issue again. They go astray in their hearts, not with what they're saying, not with what they're doing, but in their hearts. Here's where the warning gets personal. The only one that knows your heart is God. We are open, exposed to Him. Search your heart this morning. This is a dire warning for you and me. I can't get inside your heart and know what's going on. I wouldn't want to. But it's for you. Listen, don't look to the left or to your right. This is a warning for you. Where are you with God? If you're in a good place with Him, don't go astray in your hearts. The only one that knows your heart is God. He said, they have not known my ways. This speaks of the actions after the revelation. When they were on their way to mountain, when they were on their way from Egypt to the mountain, they could have had lots of questions. Why are we following this guy? Who's this God? This God that's, and this God is good. But when they got to the mountain and God spoke from the mountain, cleansing all the people, when He spoke, there was no more excuse. When they got to the mountain and God spoke, He spoke the commandments with His own voice and the people heard it. And they said themselves, we can't listen to this anymore. You go, Moses, and listen. We don't want to hear anymore. They sealed their fate from denying the Word of God. This is the comparison it is made to you and I. We may have before wondered what God was all about, but you and I have been serving God for a long time, and we need to keep it fresh. The voice of God is fresh. The voice of God is clear. The voice of God is leading us. Do not go astray. After the revelation, you know that God saved you. You know that God called you. You know that God set you aside. The words are heard, but His ways are ignored. We can go through all the motions. And He says in verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They gave up their lives, my friends. The example that the Holy Spirit uses, they all died never receiving the promises. Their children lived to see the promises. What a visual. We say, well, Christ hasn't come back yet. Maybe it's because we aren't listening. Maybe the day would be hastened if we listen and are obedient. Come on, somebody. Somebody said there's going to be a hurricane. I believe that. I believe it's starting even now. But it demands strict obedience to the Word. This is the kind of thing that sets many apart from the gospel. This example is directly connected with the New Testament freedom we proclaim to be true. With truth comes great responsibility. And it doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter what our age is. I'm too old to change now. I'm too young. I haven't experienced enough yet. The Holy Spirit in you, He speaks very plainly. How many know God doesn't speak in puzzles anymore? The mystery that was hidden for ages and generations has now been revealed to us. We can't say it's a mystery anymore. Come on, somebody. I'm making it as plain as I can. Watch now. A solemn warning to us in verse 12. Beware, brethren. Here he goes now. He's centering back in on us again. Beware, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is to all the brethren. No matter where we are in our walk with God, He's speaking to us. We must fight against unbelief in any form. Unbelief is a nail in the coffin of our lives. We need to treat unbelief like the plague. Anybody that comes and questions the Word of God in your presence, run from them. Get out of there. The Word of God is true. Let every man be a liar, but the Word of God is true. Questioning commitment. Let me ask you a question. What is fanatical? We used to say people are fanatical. Fanatical anymore means somebody that's actually being obedient to the Word. We don't walk or talk or act like this world. We're not supposed to look like the world. A lot of the music today is going, you know, it's more like the world than it is the Word of God. Can't tell the difference. I turn on 92.1 and 93.7 and it sounds the same. It's quiet in here. Questioning the Word. What is false? Man, people have watered down the Word so much it's not even recognizable. It says to, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You cannot have unbelief if you have not believed. You can't unbelieve unless first you believe. Here's the warning. If you believe, you better stay believing. You don't want to go to unbelief. If you're jumping ahead, if you're cheaty-peaties and moving ahead, Hebrews chapter 6 gets real personal. Hello. This is being addressed to you and I, to believers. This is where God speaks the heart. It's in the heart that one begins to walk away first, long before the actions occur. It's in the heart that says, I can do this and get away with it. The heart cleansed to the heart evil is no easy feat. Do not let the enemy lie to you and say you can get away with things. You can't. You'll answer for every word and every deed. How does it happen that we would turn to unbelief? It begins with trust. Am I hearing God and how do I respond? It returns to the seen from the unseen. We begin to trust our emotions, our senses over the Spirit of God. It happens very subtly. And we find ourselves way out from the presence of the Lord, from the will of God. He's always there, but we're away from Him. We live largely by what we do not see, you and I. The level of faith and trust is high, and we must adjust ourselves to living and walking in the Spirit. Without faith, the Scriptures say, it's impossible to please God. You and I are commanded to walk in the unseen realm. I think it would be much easier if God would just show up every day and hang around with me. You know, manifest, you know, everywhere I walk, God would be saying, hi, I'm Rick, and this is God. God, would you like to say anything to Brad? Wouldn't that be much easier? Come on. I know, it would be even easier if we could just, you know, have God beside us here and Jesus beside us here and the Holy Spirit kind of floating around. Hey, Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, He's right here. Let Him talk. Jesus wants to talk to you. I'll shut up and let Jesus. Wouldn't that be much easier? It's exactly what He does. He says, now you can shut up. Let me speak through you. I'm going to use you to speak to this person or that people or this situation. He says to exhort one another daily. So very clear. It's a daily walk. Do not be easily offended. If we correct one another, it's out of love. So many people get upset when somebody corrects them. Hey, you can't be a Christian and use that kind of language. I dare you. Don't tell me what to do. Don't you ever talk to me like that. I'm a Christian. I'm free as you are. I can do what I want to do. Man, we exhort one another. Exhortation means we encourage one another. And sometimes that encouragement involves negative things. Just because you're a challenge to walk the walk does not mean you're being judged. Just adjusted. Sin is deceitful. It does not look like sin. It does not sound like sin. It dresses itself up like righteousness. Come on, someone. I only need 5 more minutes. I know we're running late today, but please listen. Sin doesn't look like sin. And we engraft it in our lives and we start making excuses. Sloppy love, forgetting the boundary, sloppy obedience. We think things like God has made an exception. Judging others by actions and us by our intentions. God's made an exception. He loves me so much I can get away with this stuff. He loves me so much that other people have to do that, but I don't have to do that. God understands. Him and I got an understanding. Me and God, we're in. God does not understand. And He warns us. He says, do not harden your hearts. And today, exhort one another daily while it is today. Because guess what? We don't have any guarantees there's going to be a tomorrow. And when we're standing before God, it is too late. Come on, somebody. God, can you send me back? I had a file with all my good deeds. If you just let me get back and get the file folder, I'll come back, I promise. Look at this, man. Look what I did in 1997. Look at that. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? He wraps this whole thing up. He says, man, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The writer again brings us back to the very results of disobedience. Partakers of Christ, if. Hold our confidence in what? We have to hold it in Christ. Look up those scriptures later. Romans 3, Romans 6, and Romans 8. The reason they did not enter in is very simple. Unbelief. We could get fancy with all the other things, but the bottom line is the Holy Spirit says they didn't enter His rest because of unbelief. There yet remains a rest for you and I. On this side of heaven, right now. And that rest is being obedient. A sure sign of completion. Let me close by reading Colossians 2, verse 8. Put your pen down. Put your Bibles closed. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Beware, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, verse 10, are complete in Him. Say that. I am complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. I am complete in Christ. As long as you remain in Christ and Christ in you, you're complete. Beware lest anyone deceive you. Lest the enemy deceives you. This is not something religious. This is life. We're talking life here, my friend. And we need to make adjustments because the hour is getting darker and darker. There are deceitful people. There is Christ. Here is Christ. Do this. Don't do that. We need to listen to Christ. Hear what He's saying. I love you so much, but if you ever hear me saying anything that's from the not in the Word, get your Bible and your family and get out of here. It's not worth it. If you ever hear anybody, if you ever hear this church going in a direction that's not biblical, get out while the getting's good. But I promise with all my heart, we'll always preach the Word and stay in the Word. It's tough, man. There are boundaries. There are fences. There are adjustments we need to make to stay within the confines of the kingdom of God. It's not a free-for-all. We can't get away with everything. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Dear Father, today I pray, God, as You're taking us through this book, Lord, this comparison that You're making this morning knocks me back on my heels, Lord. These people who saw and heard Your voice, saw Your manifest glory, were blessed to have nothing wear out and all the food provided and all the comforts of life provided, and yet they turned from You. God, please put Your searchlight on my heart this morning, on my brothers and sisters, the searchlight. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord, I don't know everybody here personally. If you have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I encourage you this morning to make that step. Let Jesus live in you this morning. If you need to receive Jesus Christ, I want you to slip up your hand. You need to receive Christ as your Savior this morning. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's pray this prayer together. Father, I ask You to come into my heart. I confess my sin before You. I ask You to write my name in Your book. Come and live in me. Forgive me of all my sin. I'll walk in Your truth. Teach me. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those that were challenged this morning, including myself, God, whatever adjustment we need to make, God, we make it today. We're not waiting for tomorrow. We're doing it right now. We're making an adjustment. God, lead us and guide us as You promised You would, according to Your loving kindness and mercy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. God bless you. Have a great day.